You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Middleton on the sideline. Ooh! He lobs up top to Giannis, who flushes it through.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Three-pointer on the way from Brown, and he'll splash it through to put the Nets back ahead by two. Matthews sends it almost the length of the court to Giannis. Three-pointer at the horn on the way. It missed strong. He got a good look at it.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise.
Justin Garcia.
Yeah.
All right, not the start to the second half of the season that you had envisioned here as the Bucks fall to the Brooklyn Nets, 126-123. And there are a couple of key problems for the Bucks in this one tonight. Certainly the turnovers, which we touched on the network postgame show. 15 turnovers, number one, is simply too much. But it seemed as though every time the Bucks had a turnover, the Brooklyn Nets turned that into 3 points. 27 points off of those 15 turnovers for the Brooklyn Nets, including some big threes down the stretch. There was a big sequence as well in the third quarter where the Nets scored 8 straight points off of turnovers, a pair of three-pointers, and a Seth Curry layup on a Jrue Holiday turnover. And all three of those turnovers came from your three best players, one by one, Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday. Free throw shooting, turnovers, those were huge problems for the Bucks, but they just had no answer for Kyrie Irving either. A new season high tonight from Kyrie, finishing with 38 points as the Nets get a big win over the Bucks, playing without Kevin Durant, playing without Ben Simmons still, who's yet to make his Nets debut, and on the debut of Goran Dragic, who gave them 6 points off the bench. The Brooklyn Nets with a big win here on the road, 126-123. The number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. It is a pair of disappointing losses for the Bucks to bookend the All-Star break. We're not going to sugarcoat this. We kept pointing to second half of the season and a lot of these crucial games and the lead-up to the All-Star break. Mentioned some of the similarities we saw last year when the Bucks went into the break on a high note, the Jrue Holiday game winner against the Memphis Grizzlies. They won 6 of their final 7 going into the All-Star break. It was part of an 8-game win streak that overlapped the first half and second half of the season, and that's really when they seemed to hit their stride. They did still have some disappointing losses down the stretch, and I think the biggest we can point to is that loss to the Houston Rockets, which ultimately cost them home court advantage in the series against the Brooklyn Nets, though that didn't have the impact we anticipated it would. So the Bucks did start to hit their groove much earlier last year. They did still have some disappointing losses, but you started to get the feeling on that West Coast trip, okay, they're starting to do the same thing now. They're piecing together some of these wins. The offense looks good, but a disappointing loss to the Philadelphia 76ers to wrap up the first half of the schedule. And to come out and have the amount of turnovers they did tonight, to have, again, some of those problematic quarters and displays of it in the second quarter, especially in the third quarter, you went from a 7-point lead in the first to a 6-point lead at halftime to trailing at the end of three. The third quarter continues to be a problem for the Bucks, and late-game execution ultimately dooms them in a tough, disappointing loss to the Brooklyn Nets tonight, 126-123. They've now lost 4 of their last 5 games. The loss in Phoenix to the Suns, you can certainly understand. They've been the best team in basketball this season. But the home loss to the Portland Trail Blazers on a night where really Anthony Simons went off and had a big night, hit some big shots down the stretch. Yusef Nurkic took advantage of the size mismatches and really beat the Bucks up on the glass. Late game execution doomed the Bucks in that game. The Philadelphia 76ers loss, you lose that one by 3 points. Late game execution dooming the Bucks. And tonight, you open up the second half with, again, poor execution down the stretch and just too many mental miscues for a team that entered this game with 8 days of rest and had continued to talk about building good habits, being a much different team, putting together some of that consistency in the second half of the season. And this was not the start you wanted to see with all that in mind. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line is the number to get in touch with us tonight. Not suggesting anybody is panicked where it is time to panic. If you are panicked, I suppose we can talk you off the ledge. I am not in panic mode yet. But the more we point to, look, I trust this team, and I'm going to continue to say, I trust the trio of Giannis, Chris, and Drew once you get to the postseason. I trust it more than any group we have in the Eastern Conference. But the more we continue to point to, hey, in the second half, when these games matter the most, I expect to see a different team. We still haven't gotten there yet. And it doesn't panic me or concern me. It just makes me raise my eyebrow a bit that if you're in the category of, look, something feels different about this team this season, games like tonight certainly add fuel to the fire. Number to get in touch with us again is 855-616-1620. Where are you at now after two straight disappointing losses into and out of the All-Star break against two teams? It's a very good chance you may see one or both of them in the postseason this spring. More after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Portis going the other way. Does not have numbers, so he'll tap the brakes, feeds it back out top to Middleton, lobs up top to Giannis, who stuffs it down on the alley-oop.
Giannis finished this game with 29 points, but again, 8 of 20 from the field. This was not one of those Giannis games. It was a very quiet 29 points that he finished with. The job that James Johnson did on Giannis, tonight was probably the most extended look James Johnson had on Giannis in quite some time. We have seen him matched up against Giannis in the past with a number of different teams. The Miami Heat, the Minnesota Timberwolves. 30-plus minutes tonight from Johnson, 34 minutes that he played in tonight's game. A majority of that was on Giannis. We saw in the first half he was checking into and out of the game whenever Giannis did. The length that he has, the physicality that he plays with as well, he's one of those guys. It's not a Giannis stopper. That term has been overused the last few years. He is not a stopper. Giannis scored 29 points tonight. But he needed 20 shots to get there. And those are some of the things that James Johnson was able to do tonight against Giannis and against the Bucks. But you look at really the scoring breakdown for Giannis in this game. 29 points. He needed 20 shots to get there. He scored 7 points in the first quarter, 7 points in the second quarter, 9 points in the third quarter, just 6 points in the fourth quarter on 1 of 6 shooting. And 2 of those attempts were 3-pointers. He went 4 of 4 at the free throw line, which was the good news, but you got to get Giannis more touches in the fourth quarter. I would have liked to see Chris Middleton get some more touches in that fourth quarter as well. He scored just 5 points there. You got 11 points combined from Giannis and Chris in the fourth quarter, and they each hit just 2 field goals. Chris, 1 of 1 from the field in the fourth quarter. Giannis goes 1 of 6. That is one of the many numbers that tell the story to tonight's game, a disappointing loss for the Bucks. So where is your head at after 4 out of 5 losses for this Bucks team? You bookend the All-Star break with 2 very frustrating losses that seem to follow the same playbook for the Bucks as well. And we got some injury updates to get to as well a little bit later on the program tonight. Number to get in touch with us, let us know where you're at after this loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Is 855-616-1620. Does it make you reconsider the Eastern Conference? What the overall outlook is in the conference? And did it teach us anything about this Brooklyn Nets opponent? Does it change the way you feel about that team as well? 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Some of those numbers we gave from Giannis and Chris, certainly very telling. They were not the stat of the game, though. Time to check in on that.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
You cannot overmention the amount of turnovers that the Bucks had tonight. Again, 15 turnovers. You plan for about 11 turnovers a game. 15 is too much. But what Brooklyn was able to do as well on those turnovers, 27 points. There was one big sequence in the third quarter we already talked about, but Giannis, Chris, and Drew, three consecutive possessions. They each had a turnover. And on the next trip down the floor, the Brooklyn Nets scored. On two of those three turnovers, it was a three-pointer. Seth Curry scored five of the 8 points. It was part of an 8-0 run from Brooklyn. They had a number of big runs in this game. 15 turnovers is too much. 27 points off of turnovers is too much as well. But to me, the story of this game, it all loops in together. Bucks now have played 19 games this season where they have shot 50% or better from the field. They've lost three times now. 16-3 with the loss tonight. You shoot 43% from three. You shoot 53% from the field. You should win the game based off of that alone, especially with some of the struggles they have been going through from the outside. But you hit 16 threes. You shoot 43%. Bobby Portis sets a new career high with 8 made three-pointers. And you still find a way to lose the game. 78-92, to me, is the stat of the game tonight. All of it weaves together. The field goal percentage, the three-point percentage from the Bucks, the turnovers and the points off of turnovers. It all speaks to the 78 versus 92, and those two numbers are field goal attempts. 78 for the Bucks, 92 for the Nets. If you take more field goal attempts, you win this game. Based off the shooting percentages alone, you win the game if you get more shots up. Turnovers prevented the Bucks from getting more shots than the Brooklyn Nets. 92 field goal attempts for the Nets, 78 for the Bucks. And that's why you open up the second half of a brutal stretch of scheduling here for the Bucks. That's why you open things up with a loss tonight. 126-123, the final score. It's not all negative. Some of the positives we saw, really the only positive we saw here in terms of the bench, was Javon Carter. I mean, look, the disappointment remains. This is another game where the Bucks bench fails to register at least 20 points. 13 points scored from that second unit tonight. All of 13 came from two players. Serge Ibaka and Wesley Matthews. 8 points from Serge Ibaka in 15 minutes of work. 5 points from Wesley Matthews. And you wonder how much differently this game looks if Wesley Matthews finished with 8 points. And the three-pointer that was waved off, if he was able to get it off in front of the shot clock buzzer, what does that do? It gives the Bucks a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter. Maybe that's enough for them to use it as a springboard and win this game. But there's a handful of sequences we can point to here. Bottom line was just too many mistakes from this Bucks team, but 13 points from the second unit. You get 110 from the starters and 13 from the bench. This is also the fourth time this season that the Bucks' number of made three-pointers is larger than the number of points the bench has scored. That's not a good figure to have. You average 30-plus points a game from your bench. It shouldn't be close. Unless all of a sudden you're an otherworldly three-point shooting team that sets all kinds of NBA records, the two figures should not be close, but it has been close, really, game in, game out for the last month and a half for this Bucks team. And you do have to wonder if pieces of that bench are just simply starting to run out of gas with all of the changes to the lineup, players in and out of the lineup, availability that Coach Mike Budenholzer talked about before the game, if that's starting to catch up with this team. And more of these 13-point performances, 15 points, 16 points from the bench, it's just starting to run out of gas with what you're asking for from this team and from this second unit. 13 points from the bench tonight, 10 points against the Sixers in the loss leading into the All-Star break, 16 points in the win against the Lakers just a couple of games prior to that, 23 points against the Clippers. You did win those games. But if we look at the month of February, four times out of nine games played so far, four times, the Bucks have failed to get 20 points from the second unit. You have a handful of teams where one player on the bench, one player alone, can give you 20 points. And we touched on this a little bit in the segment I do with Ben Bruss in the pregame show. Bench scoring doesn't always tell the total story, and those numbers can be deceiving because more often than not, if your bench is scoring a lot of points, you're usually not a good team. And if you look at bench scoring here across the league, most of the teams in the bottom are good teams. They're teams that are going to be in the playoffs that you expect to be competing for a championship. That's what you get because those teams, the better teams in the league, typically have pretty good starters. So teams like the Bucks, teams like the Chicago Bulls, who are in the mix there as well, you don't expect high-scoring totals from the bench because you're getting that from your starters, but you need more than 13 points. You need more than 17 points. You need to get more than 20 points routinely, and that has been the issue for the Bucks this season. So if you're not going to get that scoring, and you can look across the court tonight and say, how differently would things look if one of the players that suited up for the Brooklyn Nets wearing number 9 tonight, what if the Bucks were able to land him in the buyout market? What if Goran Dragic was a member of the Bucks now? Well, on his Nets debut, Goran Dragic scored 6 points. So it's not a huge boost, but he has the capability of giving you 15, 20 points any given night. That right now is what the Bucks currently lack. When your second unit is Serge Ibaka, Wesley Matthews, Javon Carter, Lindell Wigginton, DeAndre Bembry, and Jordan Wara. Jordan Wara, of all the players we just listed, is the most gifted, skilled offensive player and the player most capable of notching double figures in scoring. That group of players is there for defense. And overall, I think the second unit did their job and did what was asked of them tonight. It would be nice to have some more scoring, sure. But when that's the group you have, Wes and Serge and Jordan and Javon and Lindell and DeAndre, a very, very different look to the second unit than we expected to see coming into the season when first time these two teams played and the last time they played here in Milwaukee. You think back to how much things have changed when you had Brook Lopez in the starting lineup, when you had Grayson Allen in the mix, but you also thought, man, once we start to get Dante DiVincenzo back and we have Brook here, Bobby Portis is coming off the bench. Grayson Allen is coming off the bench. Pat Connaughton is coming off the bench. This is a pretty good second unit that can give us the scoring. And think back to how much things have changed since mid-October. That is the makeup of your bench now. You can get by with that if they're in there for defense, and that's what we saw tonight. Now, George Hill is another name we need to mention, that there was a little bit of an update on him we got from Coach Budenholzer. I don't know if that should be more concerning than the overall result that we saw tonight, but I'd certainly raised my ears a little bit when we heard Bud say what he did before the game tonight. You can get by with a defensive second unit. That's what the Bucks were back in 2018-19 in Bud's first year here. Believe it or not, the Bucks bench scored even fewer points per game that year than they do now. But you gotta get some type of offense. Right now, the Bucks are scoring less than 27 points a game from their second unit. 26.6. The Chicago Bulls and Toronto Raptors are the only two teams whose bench scores fewer points than the Bucks. Now, as we said, you can't necessarily just look at raw scoring numbers for the second unit because here's the bottom 10. In bench scoring. The Charlotte Hornets, who would at the very least, and I think we can go out on a limb and say will at the very least be in the play-in tournament. The New York Knicks, who will not. The Dallas Mavericks, who have been one of the best teams in the league the last 2 months of the season. They're a playoff team. The New Orleans Pelicans, probably going to be in the play-in tournament at this point. Portland Trailblazers are not, but Boston Celtics, the 76ers, the Bucks, the Bulls, the Raptors. All but two of the bottom 10 teams in the league in terms of bench scoring, they're playoff teams. But you got to get more than what the Bucks are giving you. And if your bench is going to be, we don't need scoring, we just need you to go out there and play defense, preserve the lead, you can't turn the ball over. You can't have the mental mistakes that the Bucks had in this game tonight far too often. 7 turnovers from Drew Holiday. You started to get a good Chris performance. You got 29 from Giannis. But you turned it over way too much, and you wasted a good offensive night in terms of your shooting and three-point shooting, and certainly for Bobby Portis, a career night as well. It goes to waste because of the turnovers and missed free throws in the fourth quarter. So back-to-back disappointing losses for this Bucks team, and it does not get any easier. Again, a Charlotte Hornets team that has been a nightmare of a matchup for the Bucks the last 2 years. That's on Monday. The Miami Heat on Wednesday to wrap up the homestand. And, oh, by the way, 8 of the Bucks' final 21 games this season will be played against the 6 best records in the league. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Is that actually a good thing? We'll dive into that, as well as those aforementioned comments about Coach Mike Budenholzer, about George Hill. Is there anything to read into it? And should you be more concerned about the status of George Hill than the play we've seen from the Bucks in the last 5 games? More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Bucks can get the lead back with a 3 here. Giannis drives into the paint, kicks it out. Portis, does he have another? Here comes the 3 ball, and it's the go-ahead 3. Bobby Portis strikes again. Another long bomb. He's got 8 of them on 11 tries, and that is a career high.
8 three-pointers tonight from Bobby Portis. Bucks again shot 43% from 3 in this game. And they still lose to the Brooklyn Nets. 126-123 final score. So you go into the All-Star break with a thud and that loss to the 76ers, and you come out of it with almost a mirror image of those two games. A very, very disappointing loss at home tonight against a Nets team still without Kevin Durant, and it sounds as though he could return as early as next week. And still no Ben Simmons, who I shouldn't say still no Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons yet to make his season debut. That is another thing that it sounds as though could happen within 2 weeks. A lot of attention is going to be paid to that game on March 10th, a little under 2 weeks from now, I should say, when the Nets play the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons has said he hopes to be back by then. James Harden made his 76ers debut last night. So both of these teams are starting to reap the benefits now. James Harden looked good last night. 76ers play again tomorrow afternoon. Kevin Durant is going to be coming back. And look, 126-123 defense is what was missing here. Ben Simmons is going to give you that. Now, I still think there are some issues with this Brooklyn Nets team. And if the Bucks again, just don't turn the ball over, they win this game. If they get as many field goal attempts or close to as many field goal attempts as the Brooklyn Nets, they win this game. Their issues tonight were self-inflicted. But we've seen too many of those pile up this season. 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us tonight. And joining us, let's head out to Port Washington and check in with Dick. Dick, you're up on Bucks Talk. What is your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10 now?
It's about a 6.
And 6, okay.
You know, I always look at players' eyes. I mean, we're stagnant. We're doing the same thing over and over. I mean, we're doing the same plays, everything. So we need to shake this up. You know, I don't know where Ibaka was the second half, but here's what I think we need to do. Bring Ibaka in and sit Portis so he can come off the bench. Bring Nora in, as much as I've got issues with him, as a shooting guard. And put Jason, I'm losing names here, but move him to the shooting guard and bring him in as the guy from Duke. What am I?
Grayson.
Help me out here.
Grayson L.
Grayson, thank you, sir. Put Grayson on the bench. shake it up. I don't know where Ibaka was tonight, the second half. There was something missing. Yeah, we look stagnant, and I think something like this would shake it up. What do you think?
Well, I think part of it is I do think there is a little bit of let's make sure we preserve Serge Ibaka because, look, even it sounds as though we continue to hear there's optimism for Brook Lopez. We saw during the All-Star break, or heard from Coach Budenholzer, Brook Lopez had participated in parts of practice, still not full-scale practice. There's still no timetable for his return. But, I mean, they've maintained all along we expect him to return. Even that being said, you're still going to need Serge Ibaka. If you have Brook and Bobby and Giannis, you still need some more size. And especially if you face the 76ers in the playoffs, especially if Brook Lopez isn't 100% of what he was last season. So you're going to need all of those guys. I do think part of it is let's not put too much on Serge. Let's make sure we have him where we can go to him for some of those stretches. But I am starting to fall in your camp with that, and I was just thinking about that after the game as well. Of I'm not saying do it right now, but I do wonder, you know, at what point, maybe it's mid-March, and if it's still looking like 13 points, 18 points, 22 points from the bench, like at what point do you say, okay, let's start Serge Ibaka, let's, especially depending on the matchups we have, let's bring Bobby Portis off the bench as a guy that can kind of infuse that bench scoring and maybe change some of the looks that he gets and get him some minutes where he's out there with Chris or get him some minutes where he's out there with Drew, because we've seen a lot of Drew-heavy lineups with the bench so far this season, and just spread out some of that scoring because, you know, tonight I think overall the Bucks did a pretty decent job defensively, and I think the best thing they did tonight was they had a clear understanding of personnel, and that to me is the biggest head-scratcher of this performance. They made so many mental miscues and self-inflicted errors with those turnovers, and yet they were assignments sure and very smart with some of the things they did defensively, the way they defended Bruce Brown. Granted, he hit three threes in the game, and including a very big one, but the way they were cognizant of, okay, this is Bruce Brown, we can sag off a little more. Think about the number of times we've seen this team overcommit and just chase out too hard, and it's burned them with the extra pass. They played smart defensively tonight. It was just turning the ball over. But I do wonder, at what point do you consider that to say, okay, we need Bobby scoring coming off the bench? The Grayson Allen thing, I think, is it's a little more complicated just because I think you want that shooting and the spacing out there as long as Giannis is going to be on the floor. So you don't really have a whole lot of other options you can do there. I understand injuries have taken a big toll with this team, but you know, when you just look through the box score and you say, here's what the Bucks had available to them off the bench tonight. And look, Brooklyn is going through the same thing. But Ibaka, Matthews, Carter, Wigginton, Bembry, and Wara, those are the names that played from the second unit. The last time these two teams played in Milwaukee, you were thinking, hey, by the end of the season, the bench is going to be Pat and George and Bobby and Grayson Allen or Dante. We're going to have defense and scoring coming off the bench. And right now you got neither of the two. I thought Javon Carter was terrific tonight, and you know, Javon Carter gives you that defensive spark. Now, I don't think it works everywhere. It worked perfectly against Goran Dragic, and Ben Bruss talked about this too. It is a pain in the neck when you have somebody picking you up full court and doing it possession after possession after possession. We saw what that did to Goran Dragic. There was an 8-second violation. There was one turnover in the backcourt. There was a near turnover at midcourt. Those are some of the things that Javon Carter can bring. You can't play him 25 to 30 minutes, but he can give you those injections and those spurts. So I think that's something this team has really missed. Pat Connaughton gave you that 3 to 4 years ago. George Hill gave you that 3 years ago and at times earlier this season. But right now, the Bucks are kind of caught in no man's land where they just have to get defense from their bench and say, look, Giannis and Chris and Drew and Bobby, we're going to need you guys to score 20 points or close to 20 points. Grayson Allen scored 7 points tonight. You need Grayson Allen to take more field goal attempts than four. And we need the bench to just be out there and make sure we don't cough up the lead. So I'm not dismissing the idea of Serge Ibaka moving into the starting lineup. I mean, you were you called it last year with the DJ Augustine into the starting lineup. So I am somewhat on board with that. And in terms of the scale of 1 to 10 level of concern, I think Dick was at a 6. I am still at around – I'm not above 5. I'm probably at a – I think a 3, but instances like this, the more they pop up, it raises it. Where you just keep waiting. I'm not going to say turn the switch or flip the switch, but you just keep waiting for consistency. And sooner or later, okay, those miscues, those are going to go away. The defense is going to get a lot tighter. Those are the things that we're going to look for here. You can't expect overnight the bench is just going to start scoring points. You need guys to get back in the mix for that to happen. But you can be sure on your assignments. You can play better defense. You can cut down on the turnovers. You can move the ball around a little more. And those things, it's just one step forward, one or two steps backward. We thought we were getting it on the West Coast road trip, and then it disappeared. We thought we were getting it early in the game tonight, and then again it disappeared in the second and third quarter. So until this team gets healthier, I'm not concerned yet. I don't really know what to take away other than disappointment in some of these matchups. But look, you don't know what to expect from Brook Lopez. You don't know what to expect from Pat Connaughton when he comes back either, because that return is going to be close to the playoffs starting, and it's on his shooting hand. So you can't necessarily say once Pat comes back, boom, we're going to get a guy that can play 25 minutes, 30 minutes. He can shoot 40% on threes. He can play defense. You don't know that there's not going to be any rust or any shooting issues that he's going to have. So it's still a lot of unknown for this team, and that's why a guy like Goran Dragic, he would have helped you immensely in the short term to carry through some of that offense and make sure it's not just Giannis and Chris and Drew having to carry this load offensively. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. What Mike Budenholzer had to say about George Hill, and whether or not you should be more concerned about that than the loss tonight. And, look, losses like this happened more than we wanted last year. It ultimately resulted in an NBA championship at the end of the year. Are there any more similarities and parallels that we saw to performances like this versus periods on the calendar and close to it that we saw a season ago? We'll share some of that insight as well. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Shot clock at 3. Curry feeds the near side. Three-pointer on the way from Brown, and he'll splash it through to put the Nets back ahead by 2. 118-116, a buck 37 to go.
.126-123, disappointing loss tonight at Fiserv Forum as the Bucks fall to the Brooklyn Nets. Still two games left on this homestand, which all told is a six-game homestand. You had two of three losses to open it up, losing to the Blazers, beating the Pacers, losing to the Sixers. And now you hope it's not a mirror image where you open up with a loss to the Brooklyn Nets. You have the Charlotte Hornets and then the Miami Heat. So still two big games, and one especially big game looming for the Bucks in the remaining two on this homestand. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us tonight. Let's head back out to the phone lines and check in with Mike in Shorewood. Mike, how do you process this loss?
Yeah, what's going on? Inexcusable loss tonight. Bucks really just beating themselves again. The turnovers, Holiday, missed free throws once again. The basic part of the game, so many games decided on missed free throws. This is a game you should have won. Now you gave a struggling team right now like the Nets are without two of their big guns, knowing they can come in here with Kyrie going off and knowing they can still beat you. So I know they beat them last year, but let's not forget, I mean, being objective, even as a Bucks fan, they were a KD toe away from losing to the Nets. So this can't happen, especially at home. Just losing to Portland, just these teams that have no business beating you. Philly, okay, maybe you can somewhat excuse that because, you know, Philly's playing great and Embiid is, you know, playing at the MVP level like he is. But just overall, the Bucks got to really just clean this up. You're coming down the home stretch here of the end of the season. You should be playing your best basketball heading to the playoffs, and the Bucks aren't. I know all of us are expecting them to just flip a switch and get it going, but it's not going to work that way, you know. It's not going to be teams just repeating, as we've seen as of late. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, dynasty teams, because there's so many great teams in both the East and West. I just don't see any team really sticking above the rest. So Bucks got to clean it up just across the board. Should be playing smart and better basketball, because everybody's gunning for them, and they know that, you know, a lot of the odds makers are still expecting the Bucks to get it going. But, you know, we'll see with the Nets here when they get their guys going here. Philly now with Harden, so the Heat are playing great basketball. The Bulls with DeRozan playing at a high level, so it's going to be a lot of competition. If the Bucks continually don't get it together, it's expecting they're just going to flip a switch and win it all. They're going to be in for a rude awakening. So these boys got to clean it up here in these final 20 games and really get it going, starting with Monday against a pesky Hornets team who continually give the Bucks issues. So let's get it going, especially at home. I don't like the basketball they're playing right now. So hopefully tonight was a wake-up call against a team you should have hammered and you let stick around due to their own self-inflicted errors, and clean it up starting Monday. Hopefully Bud has got to get these guys rocking and focused for the home stretch here. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And let's start with the Brooklyn point here. They have been struggling, but maybe this is a jump start on the Nets season. And Kevin Durant sounds as though he's going to return within the next couple games. It could be as soon as, I would doubt, Monday against the Raptors, but potentially. You look at the schedule in front of the Nets here, they have a game Monday at home against the Raptors. Then they're on the road against the Raptors on Tuesday in a back-to-back. You get the feeling KD is likely to be back in one of those two games, because before the game, Nets coach Steve Nash was talking about the progress that he was on, and they needed him to go through basically three checkpoints of on-court workouts. The second was today. And when Steve Nash addressed us in the media before the game, I haven't heard otherwise, but we have no reason to believe there are any setbacks, and it was another one of those checkpoints for him. So that would leave one more for him to pass. I don't know if that's tomorrow or if that's Monday or whenever it is, but Kevin Durant is going to be back by the end of the week, is the way it sounds. So all the struggles that Brooklyn have been going through, and remember, at one point this Nets team was 29-16. They're 32-29 right now. So from 29-16 to 3-13. But if you get KD back, if you get Kyrie as a full-time player, which it certainly seems like it's trending towards that, you see the spacing that you get from Seth Curry and how that's able to change things. Ben Simmons is still a big unknown. The defense that you certainly expect he can bring you, sure. Offensively, you're not going to need a whole lot from him. But if he can be that impactful defender, you've got more than enough offense. Goran Dragic can get you going on the bench, because really, to me, the Goran Dragic move, more than anything, is Patty Mills insurance. He hasn't been the same guy since the first month of the season. And look, Patty Mills, another guy getting older, a veteran player that sooner or later, it starts to look a whole lot different. You think back to all the impact players the Nets had in that series last year. James Harden's gone. Blake Griffin is out of the rotation. Jeff Green is gone. Bruce Brown has been really hit or miss for this team. A lot of those guys are gone. The constants are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And I had this conversation with somebody earlier in the week. You know, we're going to pay a lot of attention to James Harden and Joel Embiid. And I still think Nikola Jokic has far and away been the best player in the league this season, but Joel Embiid is likely going to win the MVP award, and we can talk about its scary hours in Philly and the pairing that that two has. And I'm sure, just like we saw last year in Brooklyn, James Harden is going to be on his best behavior and going to be the model teammate for this final 20-plus games of the season, and everybody's going to be thinking, oh my God, this works perfectly. How do you slow this team down? But this Brooklyn Nets team, there is a very real possibility. We kept and continue to talk about the Bucks and the Miami Heat. This Brooklyn Nets team, there's a strong chance. They are the monster that has been hiding in plain sight all along, because I don't know about any of you, I don't want to have to go through having to defend Kevin Durant in a seven-game series once again. There's a couple of key differences, something that would help the Bucks, something that wouldn't be so much on the Bucks' side, but a lot of it is going to boil down to health. What those differences are, and that health component, and how it relates to George Hill, we'll dive into that as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
126-123. Here comes the inbound pass from Matthews. Matthews sends it almost the length of the court to Giannis. Three-pointer at the horn on the way. It missed strong. He got a good look at it.
Just rimming out there for Giannis at the horn as the Bucks fall to the Nets. 126-123 final score. All right, so we mentioned this Brooklyn team, I'm not going to say is starting to scare me, but there's a little bit of the PTSD of, you know, I don't want to have to deal with Kevin Durant in a seven-game series again. Kyrie Irving was the best player on the floor tonight, and you've seen how gifted an offensive player he is, what he's able to do. Now, it's a much different team than they were last year for the obvious reasons. James Harden is gone. It changes how you can defend this team, where Drew Holiday doesn't have to split time and worry about James Harden and Kyrie Irving. You can just say, hey, Drew, you got Kyrie Irving. The difference for the Bucks, though, is you got nobody that on paper is a good matchup for Kevin Durant. P.J. Tucker could take that role last year. It saved Giannis and Chris Middleton from having to do that. It's not going to be the case this year. You can't throw DeAndre Bembry out there. So that changes things. Now, on the flip side, we saw tonight, there are ways to exploit this Nets defense, especially the backcourt. If it's going to be a combination of Kyrie, Seth Curry, Patty Mills, Goran Dragic, it's a very small backcourt that is not good defensively. This Brooklyn team all of a sudden is very, very intriguing if they can continue to get healthy and maybe even move out of that play-in tournament. Now, health is going to be paramount for the Bucks as well, not only Brook Lopez, but all the players we've talked about and the hits that this bench has taken. The one name we have not really mentioned quite a bit is that of George Hill. And this was another game tonight that George Hill did not play in. George Hill last played January 28th against the New York Knicks. He has played 41 games for the Bucks this season. He has now missed 10 straight games with a sore neck. We heard going into that West Coast trip when he missed the Nuggets game, he missed the Wizards game, we asked Coach Budenholzer, hey, what's the status of George? It was, you know, we hope he's going to be there early on the road trip. Then we got to early on the road trip, and it was, well, maybe we'll have an update midway through the road trip. Then it was, yeah, we hope he'll be there when we start the homestand. And then once we got to that game one on the homestand Monday against the Blazers, it was, well, all-star breaks in front of us, we'll just give him some extended rest. Tonight before tip, and when we talked to Bud, it was, George is going to be out at least another week. It's not encouraging that it's 10 games now, that another week means it's going to be 12, 13, 14 straight games that he misses. So you need to get George Hill healthy Javon Carter may be a big, big boost for this Bucks team if he cannot stay healthy. Monday night, though, things continue. Bucks and the Hornets from here inside of Fiserv Forum. My thanks to Evan and DJ for producing the show and for all of you for listening. We'll talk to you Monday with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.